going to let you lead me into the topic of the day, because you have a conversation starter on this topic. Mm. We've talked about the topic before, but you had an event happen to you recently that you felt was talking to this topic. So I'm going to let you lead the way today, and I will just, you know, kind of go with the flow. Not that I don't always do
support
that.
All my opinions 100%.
Support all your opinions 100%, but go with the flow and just like go where the conversation leads me. So please, without further ado, tell us what the topic of the day is.
Thank you. So last week I went to talk at IHM Business School here in Malmo, where I'm a board member there. So we're a few companies represented. And we get to do this like once in a while, especially when a new class starts, the e-commerce manager program, because that's like our expertise. And the point of the visit was just basically kind of talking to the class about, you know, what we see out in the real world is needed in terms of skills, hard skills, and then also, well, soft skills, basically. And to talk about like this, the change in the environment and the landscape, I mean, after COVID, you know, working from home, how that affects us and our performance, relationship building, and so on. And I was there and I did my thing. I'm very good at telling people, you know,
what to do,
what to do and what's expected of them and so on. So I took that task very seriously. But it just like got me thinking that, and I've been thinking about this since last week, that in a class of like 40, 50 people, and this is, some are, you know, older than me. I mean, so I'm not talking like about kids here, that while I was talking and I tried making it kind of interactive and asking questions and I want to hear, you know, their thoughts, I could, out of that group, already tell you which five are going to make it.
How?
Because it's a gift.
Set aside it being a gift.
No, but
what are the signs you look for?
I mean, there's something about the energy and the ones that I felt like, oh, you're not sending a good vibe. Like I wouldn't hire you. I wouldn't even want to connect with you on LinkedIn after this. Is you have to kind of show that, or at least fake it, that you're interested, that you're there, you're getting an education, you're eager to know more about working life. What is it going to be like when I leave the school? What do you expect of me? How can I deliver? And like seize the opportunity to also just speak up and be seen, because we're there as your potential next employer. This is like a golden opportunity to make a good impression, so that when you send me your CV, I'll be like, oh yeah, you know, I remember you. But again, like 5 out of 50 people. It's not a good percentage. And I'm
like that's generally a sign I see in, you know, new generational shifts. The upper stakeholder management is just becoming worse and worse by generation, I feel.
100%.
We were trained in the stakeholder management school. And in this case, you being a stakeholder with that class or whatever, you know, sense you find yourself in or circumstance. But I really feel like I was so drilled on how to entertain my stakeholders and, you know, play the, not the political game, but, you know, if you want to get somewhere, there are certain certain stakeholders that you would have to entertain to get there. In a professional setting, of course, I'm not speaking about, you know, something else inappropriate. But I see that it's like less and less thought about it and more like this entitlement in general.
Oh, for sure. The entitlement. Like, where is that coming from? Because it's like, I remember like growing up and going to school and it was like, you have to put in the work to get the good grades. And even when you have the best grades, you're not the best. You still have to go that extra mile. Because in a class of top students, what makes you special? Oh, it's your extracurricular activities or I'm the only one who got a scholarship or volunteer work or whatever. And we're brought up with this. And that takes us then to university, where you have that in you. And when you leave university, you know, you're so aware that, like, this is where it starts. It's not where it ends. This is where it starts. I take the theory and I go out into the real world. And now I have to prove myself, you know, that I'm actually worth something. But these kids, it's like, I'm done with school. Like, what can you do for me? And I want this crazy unreasonable salary and I'm going to work 3 days a week. And yeah, I have a dog, so I won't be coming into the office. Like that's, I'm not saying that this class said that, but that was the vibe. Because I swear to you, if I would hire them, that's what they would be saying.
But now you got a really unique opportunity. And I think IHM, like specifically as a school, or the type of setup that IHM is, there are plenty of schools who have come up in the past years where there's such a huge range of ages. I mean, when we went to university, most of them were our peers in age.
Like a year, more or less,
more or less in between. But now in these new classes and the new formations of schools we see, you said, like you said, some were older, some are in their 40s, like resaddling after a 20-year career in something else. And then you have the youngins that come in at 18, 20. Did you see, because it was a unique opportunity for you to see, did you see a huge difference between them in the mindset or like
in the age?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the ones that I'm referring to that I felt I did not like the energy, they were young. Like, you know, I would say maybe 21 max. So somewhere between the age of 18 and 21. Like,
but don't you think that could be a part of like immaturity that you haven't really grown into, you know?
I mean, it
the self, self that an older
obviously
person would
have. They're sane enough that they're, you know, they've applied to a program and they're in school. So, you know, hey, cred to you for doing that. You could also just not go to school. But I was just amazed at like how few seized the opportunity. And that's what I mean. Like, what kind of mindset do you have? And there for me, it's already like you expect things to be served, like rather than go out and get them. So the few people that I really felt, oh, I want to talk to you some more. It was, they were actively asking questions, legit questions. They also, when I asked them about their own weaknesses and skills, that's a test I do, because I think that's very important to just kind of be able to share that. A few of them did, you know, hey, I'm not so good at presenting or whatever. And I was like, okay, cred to you for doing that. That really, that shows courage and like self-reflection, which is really tough to do in that setting. And when I stepped out to get a coffee, there was only a few who were like, oh, she's getting coffee, let me chit-chat with her, you know? And so those people, they left an impression. I really liked the way they talked and just the questions they asked and all of that. So if they then apply for a job or an internship, I will 100% consider it. I mean, I can't, you know, take in everyone. Maybe they don't even want to come work for me. There was that crazy lady that came here.
Here goes the Lulu you again. Everybody wants to work with me.
No, but I think these people do as well. You know, there's just a connection.
But you're a great colleague or boss to have. So.
I am. This is just me, you know, being a bit funny. But I am great. So anyways, I just then started reflecting, you know, over the different generations. Because again, even in the workplace, like this is not just, you know, unique at all, this school where I notice it. It's like, I think about it in my job now and the people I meet. There is a distinct difference between the age groups. And it's very few times that I meet someone that's young. And I mean, like under 25, like really young, that has that grit and that hunger and that motivation and ambition. I don't see it anymore. It's only in the people that are like our age or older, really. And I don't know, is it just because everyone that's younger just, I don't know, looks at social media and feels like things just come for free and you're gonna become an influencer and get free bags? Like, what is it?
I don't know. Or maybe it's that you're picking up grit as something being relevant to you, like to what your generation considered being grit. Or being that extra mile, or like I said in the beginning, stakeholder management, or, you know, working upwards, or whatever we used to do when we started out in our career. I mean, the landscape has changed. The education system has changed. If you just look at when we were going to school, imagine if you had come to your mom and dad and said, hey, I'm going to take this like 2-year scholarship, which is like a legit school here, like a lot of people in the industry employ people from that school. But imagine if you had said, my mom would be like, what is this? Is this a bachelor's degree? It's like, no, it's not. But it's like a purpose for going into a field. She would have been like, what is this humbug? Like, go to a real school. Just if you think about it that way, what is considered a real education or not? Everything is changing. And I'm sure our parents or their parents had something to say about the grit and the, you know, willingness to put in hard work than the generation. Because if you listen to your elders, they're like, I was digging out a hole in a mine. I was working for 18 hours when I was six. And, you know, it's like, really?
That's child labor, not legal anymore.
You know what I mean? Like, yes, I was buying cigarettes for my mama. And it's like, okay, cool. But like, we can't do that anymore.
Yeah, I know.
So it changes generation from generation.
It does, but not always for the better. And I'm all good. I mean, and I don't mean everyone has to have the same aspirations, but don't come and like not show grit and strength and courage and ambition at the same time as you're asking for an unreasonable salary and benefits. Like, you will not have that conversation with me. Like, that's the day I fire you. That's how that conversation will end. And I've had those. Mm. And that's what just kind of has made me think about it, where it's like, oh, do you have to find a new way of talking to these people? Because it's so insane. Like, you must have had that as well. Like, in interviews or even, like, with, you know, current people where you sit there and it's like, let's talk about, you know, this past year or your expectations on the job. And it's like, they expect to get away with the bare minimum, but getting compensation the absolute maximum. Mm. And that it's like, it's become so okay, you know, to have a private life and all of that, but that people have taken it to the extreme. Mm-hmm. Like, a private life is like, you know, I have a family. Yeah, I get it. You can't work late. That's okay. But when you start bringing in animals to the equation, you know.
Hey, I have a dog. Careful now. He's my first baby. No.
But it's really like, I mean, I've met people that have been like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to like work in the office because I got a dog now and he's really sensitive and needs like me to be around. And I was like, I didn't make you get a dog. Like, that was not part of our deal. You know? Like, how do you even dare say that to, like, your manager or in an interview? Like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to come to the office because I have, like, all these animals that I take care of.
I think in interview formats, I've definitely been a victim of this. Like, I want to do 3 things a week and I want to get compensated $100K a month.
Yeah,
and it's like, are you...
For real?
Is there a hidden camera in here somewhere? Yeah. Because I almost fall off my chair. Where I'm thinking like, man, I was like happy if I could get a salary to cover my rent when I first started out. But then I also reflect over like, maybe this is refreshing. Because like, how much did we take advantage? Yeah. How much were we being taken advantage of when we started?
So underpaid for too long.
So underpaid for so too long. And just doing everything under the sun and the moon for like pebbles.
Yeah.
And pesos.
But there's a balance.
There's a balance. But I'm saying, like, where there has to be a golden middle, because I don't think the way we were, I almost said brought up, but you could say brought up, like, in a context that's professional, was healthy either.
No.
I'm not saying that. No. I'm healthy for thinking the way I do. I do realize that there's faults in that structure as well. But it's become, maybe you notice it more because you feel like it's such an extreme, like, polar opposite of what we used to.
And this is not even like that like far away from our generation.
I don't know.
We're not like 100 years older than these people that I'm talking about.
I'm torn between feeling like, oh my God, yes, empowerment, refreshing, the new generation, they know like this is not healthy, and being annoyed. So
yeah, I just think, okay, like I'm gonna put this out there. And
you're giving me a little really mischievous look.
It's like, oh my God, no.
¿Qué pasa?
Take this in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But
you need to say take this in the right way, I know we're all going to take it in the wrong way.
But hey, like, I'm giving a heads up. I think that people are just getting a tad too sensitive. And with that, then setting just unrealistic expectations and yada yada, all of that.
Mm.
Like, people are just too sensitive and too much about, like, me, 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 me. You are one person in this whole world of how many citizens. Like, it's not just about you.
But that's the only place we can depart from. Ourselves.
Yeah, but you still contribute to a whole. You know? Like, if you go in and work at IKEA, or you go in and apply for a job, and there's 100 people you're competing with. Like, really?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in the country we're living in, as employers, for example, and interviewing people or managing people, we have been forced into being too sensitive as well. You know? Like, God forbid you upset someone. God forbid you say the wrong thing.
Because we work in a country where every right is on the employee rather than on the employer.
Yes.
So you have to thread very carefully.
And the same problem is in schools. Like, you can throw a chair at your teacher, but that teacher can't raise their voice.
Mm.
And I'm just saying, like, then if we're living in this bubble in this country, and let's say, you know, you go and work in the US, you take a vacation day, you might not have your job left. You want to talk about that extreme, you know? Like, and that's not right either. But I think we're just, like, becoming so laid back and, like, oh, yeah, it's all good. I'll work one day a week and no one can do anything. And, you know?
But that's generally, not just with work. Everything in society. Like, this wokeness. And what you can discuss and not discuss. And if you're stepping on someone
everything
else's...
Is, oh, God.
I'm not afraid to talk, like... I'm not so politically correct many of the times.
Mm.
I should just be quiet. And you know how hard that is for me. I have, like, mouth diarrhea.
Yeah.
I can't be quiet in a society like this.
Mm.
I feel stressed.
Exactly. But at the same time, as you have to be, like, politically correct and careful with what you say, these new generations are just unfiltered, but in, like, a wrong way. You know what I mean? So it's like we're quieting down one thing, like our brutal honesty and, you know, just tell it like it is. But instead, we're increasing the volume on these, like, I need to go dog sit people. Like, what is wrong with the world? Yeah? Because I would then be the bad guy in this situation for saying, hey, listen, you know, don't talk about your dog. That's not okay. Like, I still need you to come in here and do the work. Then I'm insensitive, you know? I'm discriminating dog owners or whatever.
I have worked out a really good schedule for myself with my dog, actually. So I highly suggest.
This was like the sensitive
part for you.
This where
is
you're
me.
Like,
Don't talk about my dog.
So if people want to get like a free pass from work, then they should work for you.
That's your sensitive spot.
You'll be like, oh, of course, I'll do the work for you. Please go. Don't let the dog be alone. No, but all in all, I mean... certain, you know, frustrations, and I'm not saying that everyone from one generation is the same. There's always like those special ones that I hope come find me so I can hire them. But if you just have to, like, I mean, pick something that you feel has been lost with our generation that you would like to kind of bring back, or your tip to the new generation, you know, like, hey guys, make sure you do this.
I think it would be agility.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this, like, self-drive.
Yeah,
solution.
Yeah.
The solution orientation without, like, freezing,
mm-hmm.
I would say.
Yeah.
Figure it out. That kind of mentality.
Yeah.
Not saying this goes for, you know, everybody.
No.
And I'm not talking about my team specifically. I just, like, talk when I meet people in private life or my sister's generation or whoever. Like, it could be anything in general, like, people. Mm. The agility in society is, like, just dwindling,
yeah.
I feel.
That, yeah, I agree with that. And then, for me, I will actually have to kind of talk about this, you know, remote thing. Because we've all been remote, I mean, for some time. So people have isolated themselves. And then there's, you know, kids that went through high school, like, from home. And losing social skills. Communication skills. It is so important to not lose that, and because I think when you do, that's the contributing factor to then going to an interview and saying really stupid things because you haven't been out with people, you haven't seen people's facial expressions.
You're feral.
Yeah, exactly. You know, body language and stuff like that. So, like, don't forget that, because that's, I mean, that's just that what I realized and why I then kind of filtered in this group, and we're like, okay, these are the not bad eggs, but eggs with potential. And these are the good eggs.
Good tip.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you and I are great communicators.
Are we, though?
What do you mean?
No, I think we are, actually.
We adjust to the situation. I mean, yeah, we have a lingo here.
Yeah.
But I don't go into, like, a boardroom and I'm like, what up, everybody? Like, this is me.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
But that's a skill you have to acquire with time. That's what I also said in the beginning. Like, it also has to do with maturity.
Yeah.
And you get there. I'm sure we didn't communicate the same we do now we did 10 years ago, you know?
But I think we did. That's the point. For sure.
I'm just trying to find like some sense of some little hope. But I mean, you mature along the way and you learn things, and in hindsight, you can always be smart about what's good or what's bad. That's why we're here to teach you, so you don't have to make the mistakes.
And just reflect over your own being, people. You know, we all have our like flaws and our good sides, but just like take a moment once in a while and just like be, am I doing the best I can? What impression am I giving others? Mm. And is that the impression I want to give? You know,
good, don't be good idea.
Mm. Good. Okay, I got this off my chest. I feel a little better.
Mm, very good.
I'm gonna have to go back there.
Oh yeah. So for all of you listening, step it up next time. And for you guys who approach that coffee time, you know that you're doing good enough, so you
exactly.
can chill.
We'll probably
take a break.
Get in touch anyways.
But I mean, if I need to hire someone, let me know who those five people were, because we're always
100%. I will. I mean, and they will do good in life. Thank you for today, and we will be back next week.
Thank you. Bye.